Hi, folks. Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We're accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Now we have sound. I was like, hello, hello.
Hello, testing.
Another Sunday morning.
Yes, good morning. Hey, it feels like we've been gone forever.
We have been gone forever. We were gone for a whole week.
A whole week.
We loitered in the Redwoods last week. Last week, this time, we were we weren't really. It's 8 o'clock. 9:30, we were at the Trees of Mystery.
Yeah, I was chasing hobbits.
It was super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a room with paneling. Feels like I haven't stayed in a room with paneling in a long time. Yeah,
it was a high-class joint, let me tell you.
So you have tuned in on purpose or accidentally to We the People Radio yet again on a Sunday morning. We're talking about Common Core today. You might want to join us on the chat. You definitely will want to click on the webpage eventually. Be a ton of information there, and I just can tell by the way the topic has gone this week. There will be more things added later. So that page will probably be updated. We have two guests for you today, neither of which I can see on my tablet because I'm not logged in yet. But we have David Whitley, and then we have Dr. Pesta. What's his first name?
Duke Pesta.
Duke Pesta.
Duke
there we
Pesta.
Go.
The Duke.
Dr. Duke Pesta. He'll be here in the second hour. So the first hour with David, David is a parent, and he became involved in all this because he started looking into it, and it's like, well, they're doing what in the schools? They're doing what with curriculum? And the more he looked, the more he realized needed to be some...
Wait till you hear what our children are
learning.
There
needed to be a little activism. So
it's almost to a point where I need to go back to second grade so I can learn what they're teaching the kids now.
Yeah, by the end of second grade, you have to know the actual anatomical parts of the body.
Yeah, all of them.
I mean, I am a knucklehead, but what the heck? I didn't know those. I think I was in college. I didn't care. who talked about that stuff?
Well, yeah, you lived, 10 miles from Woodstock and didn't know what happened?
It was 50 miles, but we still didn't know what happened.
Yeah, years later you found out.
I learned about that in college, too. I learned about a lot of things in college. I learned about the Vietnam War.
I was in Woodstock. Hey, where's that? I lived right there.
I was like, we lived right by Woodstock. I asked my mom. Did we know about Woodstock? My mom goes, I think that was the thing with the hippies. And I'm like, really? Like, you didn't know
hippies.
Either? Because here I'm thinking she just, like, they kept it a secret. She goes, I don't know. We had five kids. We were busy.
She was busy, all right.
She was busy. I know. She's always like, we have five kids. We're busy. David's on the line. Okay, so we have Tracy man with us today. We roped her in. She's going to try to play Silent Sam today, but she has 9 kids. So I've got 5 kids. I'm busy.
Tracy
has
really
my
busy.
Mother beat. She's got 9 kids. She's really busy. And I roped her into coming in because she did the same thing as David. Started looking at Common Core, and it was like, what? They're going to do what? I said, you got to come in. You're going to like this guy. He's got a very similar story. So, David, you're awfully quiet in there. Are you in there?
Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm here.
We chatted in a parking lot last night for a little while, so we got all acquainted in a parking lot over the phone.
That happens a lot after our little events. We spend a couple hours in the parking lot and go home the next day.
Isn't that fun?
It is fun. It's invigorating and it's stimulating, and it gets everybody, you know, sort of going in the same direction so that we can work together.
I was up till 3, so
you're up. Yeah.
Hey, tell folks how you got started. You gave me a little short about your kids in school, and you went to the superintendent and stuff, but I did not adequately convey the...
Well, you know, about a year ago, I was your typical parent, you know, drop your kids off and pick them up at the end of the day and help them a little bit with their homework and, you know, try to kind of carve out as much me time as I can during the evening and keep the TV off and things like that. And one day, driving my daughter and one of her basketball teammates home, they were chatting in the back seat of the car, and they were talking about this test they took, this survey. And I didn't interrupt them. I just listened very carefully to them go back and forth about the bizarre questions that they were asked. And they started discussing the final question on the survey, which asked them about their sexuality, their gender, whether they were homosexual or lesbian or transgender, what they described themselves as. And so when that was done, I dropped off the friend, and when I got home, I just was quizzing my daughter about it, asking, you know, it wasn't an interrogation, I just wanted to know more about it, and the more I learned, the more, you know, steamed I got. And so I decided I needed to do something about that, and so I talked to some of the other parents who were shocked about it. I talked to my Board of Education. Some of them were shocked about it. Some of them immediately... got a hold of their own schools and found out that within that same week their child had taken that test. And so that propelled me to speak before our local PTA and to sit down with the principal and discuss these issues and try to get a copy of it. And the funny thing was, it took me about 4 months to simply get an email that pointed me to a website that I could read about it. And the information was available the entire time. I, you know, being a nice guy and not wanting to really fight about it too much, I just waited patiently for the answer to come back. And I would email once a week and say, what's the result? And I kept getting the runaround that we needed to talk to legal counsel at the district and find out, you know, where this information is at and blah, blah, blah. And so finally, at the end of the school year, as time ran out on the clock to do anything about it that school year, I got the information. And it turns out it's actually online, and I've actually emailed you copies of the California Healthy Kids Survey, which has a version for elementary school, a version for middle school, and a version for high school. And the high school one gets even more in-depth and more bizarre in the questions that they ask. But it delves into the personal... you know, things that happen in the household. It asks questions about whether your parents smoke, whether they drink, what their income is. You know, things that some questions kids probably wouldn't be able to answer anyway. And when I questioned the principal about it, he basically said, well, this is just a survey to gather, you know, aggregate information so that they can get funding for the particular school districts to help at-risk children. And it all sounds really good. The problem is, from my perspective, is they're supposed to be teaching my kids reading, writing, arithmetic, science, and history, and letting me do the parenting part on things that relate to or delve, you know, touch the fringes of politics, and that I need to be respected as a parent and what goes on in my home and what I teach my kids. I expect my kids to come home with my values reinforced, not come home with a different set of values that I have to argue and debate my child about. So I look at it as a corrupting of our kids and a separating of parents from students. And so that set me on a path to, you know, to delve into this even more. And it took me into the history textbooks where I found variations of history that I thought were bizarre, if not completely false. And as I moved forward and talking to parents, I ended up finding other parents that were on this same journey as I was. And we all sort of coalesced together, and we've become, you know, an armada of parents who are trying to not only protect our children, but we're trying to save the public schools. We're not out there saying, put your kids in parochial school, put your kids in private school. That's fine if you want to. Thumbs up if you do it. But we want to save the public schools, because at the end of the day, you got 60,000 kids graduating in the state of California. If we only have a couple thousand kids graduating from private schools with a good education, there's nothing that they can do against the other 58,000, whether it's the way they vote or the way they think or the way that they go in and do, you know, do business or become administrators or teachers themselves. And so the problem perpetuates itself in the wrong direction if we don't change the public schools.
So you said you got into one of the history books. Are they actually writing new books to support Common Core and just tossing the old books?
Well, what has happened, it's not related necessarily to Common Core, but as you get deeper into this, you see how the tentacles are connected all through the school system. And as Common Core, you know, came into play, it was English and it was math standards. But there's also, at the same time, they were writing new national sexuality standards. And the national sexuality standards, within the document itself, within the first couple of pages, it talks about how it's going to be implemented through the English and the math curriculum, which tells you that the people writing the math and English curriculum at Common Core have some influence or connection with the people at the national sexuality standards,
sure.
Because they're not talking about, you know, implementing this through biology classes or science classes. You know, they're not talking about implementing this necessarily through the part of the year where they do where they go through the biology of with the seventh and eighth graders in sex ed. And so they're trying to instill this theme of sexuality in these other areas of English and math. And we know that they're working on the new standards for science now. They're working on new standards for history. And David Coleman, who wrote these, who was the architect of this, has now become, he's moved over to the College Board. He's the president of the College Board, and he's rewriting the college standards for the SAT and the CAT tests that are coming out for college entrance. So the people behind this are working the entire system, but they're playing it off as there's no connection between any of it. But it's obviously an orchestrated effort.
Sure, because, you know, if you want to have some fun, you look up the... follow the sex ed layout, and you look at grades 1 and 2, and in 1 and 2 they're learning all the accurate names for the personal biology on both sexes, not just their own. You know, that's one
right.
thing. But then I think it's 3 and 4 or 3, 4, and 5, I forget, goes in little clumps. And during that span of time, they're supposed to learn about what they do if they're attracted to someone of the same sex, and what does it mean to love someone. And I'm thinking, really?
Yeah. I mean,
they're
at
supposed
that
to
age,
be like giving
even,
everybody a Valentine,
they're
right?
They're not even thinking of that stuff at that age. I mean, that's,
I don't even think they know what that... They totally can't comprehend what that means.
No.
That's why
absolutely
we...
Absolutely not. You know, they've got... They actually, there's a... You know, one of the ways that they insulate themselves from this stuff, too, is they have these particular texts, particular books that are part of the curriculum, and only certain schools take them. Some schools look at this stuff and say, wow, this is, you know, we don't want this. But the problem is some schools do take it, and it makes the news. And if you Google, you know, issues about Common Core math, or if you Google issues about Common Core English or these sexuality surveys, you see that groups like Planned Parenthood and others are involved in it. And they're overtly trying to sexualize the kids at these very young ages. They're already bringing in, you know, the idea of these non-traditional families. They start off with, you know, single moms and single dads, and then they move into, you know, Heather has two mommies, and these other issues that we've seen trying to creep into the system for the last, 20 years or so, and it just continues to get worse. One of the new books in here it actually talks to the children about methods of masturbation and things like that.
Oh my God!
Oh, that's right. I saw that on there.
And is that at what age level?
This is at I believe it's down to third grade. It's called It's Perfectly Normal. It's written in a cartoonish fashion, and it actually has cartoon drawings of children, for children, of people black and white, thin, fat, handicapped, small, large, to give people the idea that we all have the same anatomy, we just have different types of bodies. And it moves into, what's natural as far as their sexuality and how to express themselves. And there's even verbiage in here on the children are to be given enough time to perform these things. It's really insidious, and it's many schools deny that it's even happening or it's even here. I've got a copy of a book that is actually from the Milwaukee schools. It's right on the backside of the book. It's got the library code and everything. It was put into the Milwaukee Public Libraries and into the school system.
What are the teachers? Obviously.
Let's face it, they're trying to do math problems that take 5 minutes to solve when you could just do basic subtraction. They probably haven't even gotten to the sex ed module.
There's got to be some kickback from the teachers about teaching second graders about sex. I mean,
do they have a special teacher for this like we used to have with the blue movie and the pink movie?
No, you know what? A lot of this is being implemented right through their normal daily teacher. There's not special instruction that comes in this. But
and they're okay with that, I guess, huh?
I think many of them are not okay with it, but the problem is that the administrations are saying we have to do it or we're going to do it, and the unions generally are backing the curriculum, so the teachers don't have much wiggle room. They don't have anybody to go to and say, hey, this is outrageous. Luckily, some school districts are more conservative than others, and so at the top, when these books are chosen, many of them are not actually chosen. But the sad thing about it is we think we have choice, but the difference between the bad books and the good books is just a variation of how they're implementing the sexuality of our kids. There's no book in there that's just, pure abstinence or, teaches a typical traditional value, traditional home, a nuclear family, things like that. They all just go about it in different ways, and they go about it in either maybe a slower process or a faster process.
And now, it's laced through all the topics, which is
right. The
extra special part. Hey, we've got to take a really quick break because I think people's heads have probably just exploded on that. We got to give them.
All
give
I can
them,
think
like,
about right now is
Bill's having a spaz right now.
Johnny, it's not a handle. You know what I mean?
And right.
Now, you can't do that anymore.
No, you'd have to call it the correct word. And it's on the spelling list, by the way.
Oh, it is.
There are things on the spelling list that I'm not even really sure what they are.
I'm not sure. I hear them.
It's appalling. We'll be right back with you at We the People Radio and tell you more appalling things that you probably can't spell.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but they want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCN.
Orchard Nutrition Center buys locally to not only support our North State growers and vendors, but buying locally also reduces the time from grower to market, which ensures that your family has the freshest, most nutritious products available.
My name is Pam Giacomini. I'm with Hat Creek Grown Beef up in Hat Creek. Orchard Nutrition Center has been showcasing our product for several years, and we are now their exclusive grass-fed beef producer. They're also cooking our deli rounds in their deli and produce their roast beef sandwiches out of it. Working with the crew here is just fantastic. We really appreciate their work with us and their embracement of local products and good local producers.
Hi, I'm Richard Bloom. We manufacture the MSM Health Solutions products in Anderson, California. It's really good to see a local company like Orchard getting behind manufacturers locally and helping us to produce here locally to sell our products locally.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store. Visit them at 221 Locust Street in Reading or on the web at orchardnutrition.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Cyndi Lauper.
Oh.
Bob takes us back to the...
If you didn't know what that song was about before, you do now.
Yeah, we do now. Yeah, Bill. Oh, my gosh. We're talking about Common Core. So we're going to goof off a little bit because this is stressful.
It's appalling.
This is stressful. So you have joined We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. If you'd like to call in, you have to do it before 2 minutes to the hour, because I don't know, it's when everybody dials. I don't know what the deal is. But our number here is 530-605-4567. We're here with David Whitley. We're here with Tracy Mann. You got Bill. You got Aaron. You got Bob. We have a full house today.
So we should be able to answer the question. I have a question.
You do?
Yes.
Fire.
What is going to be the result? I mean, if Common Core stays in full swing, you know, 6, 8, 10 years down the road, these kids that go through a system like this, what are we going to end up with?
If you think we can't get change at the store now.
Yeah.
I gave a girl 50-cent pieces the other day. I got those in change somewhere, and I gave her three 50-cent pieces and a dollar bill and 3 cents. And she had no idea how much that was. She just looked at me like I had just landed.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes, but it doesn't always involve 50 cent pieces. But yeah. Yeah, she just looked at me. She goes, "What are these?"
Wow.
I'm like, "Really big quarters that are worth twice that?"
They're big quarters.
What do you say, you know?
No, but seriously, I mean,
I am being serious.
These kids are bad. I mean, it's bad now. I mean, when they did this once before, I think, and I mean, look what we have now. What's going to happen, you know, 10 years down the road?
David?
Well, what I see happening is what they're teaching the kids now, they were teaching the kids 20 years ago in college. And so they've just pushed it all down all the way to the very beginning. They're trying to mandate that children go to preschool at age four.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to start school earlier. What most people don't know is kindergarten is actually not mandated. You have to have your kids in school in first grade. Kindergarten is actually a choice parents can make, but almost everybody puts their kids into kindergarten when the school year starts and they're age appropriate, and they're trying to move that down to a preschool level. But what's happening with the texts and the teaching material, the curriculum, is that they're politicizing this stuff. One of the things they're teaching right now in the Common Core in science in grades 9 and 10, they're actually removing many of the traditional texts and they're replacing them with U.S. EPA and Department of Energy reports. In grades 10 and 11, they're replacing some of the reading material with Obama's executive orders on strengthening the federal environment, energy, and transportation management.
That's got to be a good read.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to put anybody to sleep with that.
No.
And I think Dr. DeCresta, who's up next, they took out half the literature. They took out half the literature, and now they have a whole bunch of stuff that's basically political speak.
Absolutely.
Geared toward, you know, global warming is man-made, and it's all you. You broke it.
Yep. You know, the evolution of the grocery bag, things like that. They're reading about. You know, they're really trying hard to turn the kids against American energy, American free enterprise, make them, you know, global warming, you know, marching robots. And I remember back as a kid, we used to have paper drives all the time, but it was about raising money for the library or for some function in the school. Recycling was a good thing, and it made us some money. And today, you know, the entire recycling thing is about saving the planet. And what I don't ever understand is no one ever explains why we're going to save the planet if we're not going to be here. You know, they keep talking about it's just for the plants and the animals, as if you know, the purpose of the earth is not for humanity. So we're really turning on ourselves. It's like a firing squad in a circle, you know. And what they're teaching kids about the family structure, what they're teaching kids about just boys and girls, they're trying to tell them there's no distinction other than biology between boys and girls. They ask the kids questions. This is part of what they talk about Common Core and the standards, and they're trying to get deep thinking out of the children. Well, they're giving them these one-sided arguments that seem to follow logically if you're in the second grade.
Sure.
That if you give little boys weights and guns and baseball bats, they're going to turn out to enjoy those things. And if you give little girls makeup and dolls, they're going to end up going that direction. And they don't realize that they're looking at these types of things from the wrong end of the spectrum. They're looking at them from, you know, it's like looking through a set of binoculars, you know. Yeah, you can look through it both ways, but you're either getting a reduction versus a magnification in what you're seeing. And
well, that sounds
they don't
like,
realize.
That sounds like a lot of common sense to me, but is there any weight to back that up?
Well, there's no weight to back it up, because they've done studies where if you give children just free rein, you let them choose what they want, the girls will choose the doll. If the boy chooses the doll, he'll tear the arms and the legs off and turn them into weapons.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it is. And so
then climb the curtains with them.
Bill left
exactly.
a little too quickly at
so,
that one.
It's just amazing. And a lot of these people don't have children. They think that anyone who's got two kids realizes they are not the same. And yet you get these bureaucrats that are in positions of administrative strength, and they have no children, and they start to tell people how to raise kids and how all kids are the same, and if you just give them the same input, you're going to get the same output as if they're a computer. And part of why this is going to fail is not only that methodology, but also because it's all going to collapse on itself, because they're not actually creating deep thinkers. They're creating robotic people.
Sure.
They're not teaching. They're programming.
Well, and also when you look at the political implications of that, what are we going to end up with in 10, 15 years?
Well, I think we're going to end up with a collapsed school system that is going to have them as the rescuers coming in with a new Common Core type system that says,
that's
okay, if it failed again, we'll rescue you again. And unfortunately, if we don't wake the public up, they're going to say, oh, thank you, someone's going to rescue us again. They don't realize that the person that's burning the building down is the same guy that says he's going to put it out for you. You know, it's a sick thing.
But when you look at the political side of it, though, I mean,
yeah, but they asked a bunch of Democrats. I think that was on Dr. Pesta's deal. They asked a bunch of them what they thought of No Child Left Behind, because that was a Bush thing. Oh, it was terrible. And
right.
Is it good? You know, should we have abandoned that in the first year rather than spend all that money on a failed thing? Yeah, we should have done that. And they said, well, why don't we do that now?
Exactly.
Crickets.
When I spoke before the Orange County Board of Education, you know, I'm a word picture person. I like to make a mental image. You know, if I could draw, I would be a political cartoonist, because I think that's such a brilliant field.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't draw a stick figure to save my life. But, you know, I told them if this was a school building rather than a school curriculum that we were talking about, and we found out that this building was unsafe for the kids to go in, nobody would be arguing about whether or not we send them in to teach them in that building. We would say, okay, no matter how far along we are, no matter how much money we've spent, we got to tear this down, we got to rebuild it, the foundation's wrong. And that's what Common Core is. It's an unsafe building, and yet they're saying, well, no, the train has left the station, we have to just push this through. And when you ask them questions, starting all the way back from when Common Core started, they give you the same talking points, no matter what level you hit them at, whether it's at the state level, whether it's elected representative, whether it's at the district level or your local principal. they give you the same talking points. So they've all been taught the same thing. They've all gone through the same training from the top down. So they just parrot that same answer back to you. And yet we have lots of questions. And many of us parents have found out those answers. And we've seeked out individuals like Duke Pesta, who's really helped to put it all together for us. And now in Orange County here, we've actually been able to get the Orange County Board of Education to put Common Core on trial. We've brought in experts on both sides of the issue. The Orange County Board, their job was to bring in experts to defend it. And the parents in our group have, you know, seeked out these individuals, these experts. We've paid for their plane tickets and their hotels to come here to help defend this. We don't have anybody helping us. There's nobody, there's no corporation, there's no Bill Gates backing us up. We're doing this as moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. And we've brought these people in to speak on our behalf. And I can tell you, they're going to do a fantastic job. And the people that show up at this event are going to see that Common Core is really just a hollow gourd. There's nothing there. It's all window dressing. And at the end of the day, it's political, and we need to get rid of it.
Well, I think you're all over it. And the information on that hearing, by the way, is on the website. So if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, scroll down below the information for our second guest, you'll see important Common Core meeting, public hearings provided by the Orange County Board of Education, and that is tomorrow night, Monday night, 6 to 9 p.m. at your Board of Education boardroom. And there's a phone number there for anybody who wants to send somebody maybe and they have questions about it before they go or whatever. So
yeah,
if you live in Southern California, send folks there.
Absolutely. Thank you. There's actually going to be a press conference at 5:30. So anyone listening who's wanting to come, get there a little bit earlier and you'll be able to hear several of us, some of the parents speak at the press conference and kind of, inform the public that shows up why we're there and what we're doing. And, you know, hopefully it'll be an exciting event and it'll be informative. And then we're going to have a follow-up in November. We actually got the board to do two of these events. So we're doing one now, and then we're going to follow that up on Tuesday night with an event here in Southern California with one of the individuals, experts that's coming in. And then we'll be giving out that information at the event. And then in November, we're going to have at least two more events, public events of our own, to inform the public of not only Common Core, but the second event on November 17th. So
nice.
We're not done here. And then
shoot us the information on that, and that way we can post it so that, for the people who may have relatives down there or,
sure,
be traveling or something like that, make sure and get the word out to people, because I think that I think it's like a lot of things. If somebody can do it in one place, then, hey, you could do it someplace else.
Absolutely.
So the idea, I'm sure, is to cheat off of your system. And
We would love, I mean, like I said, we are just parents that are cobbling this together and are trying to figure out our own way, and we're learning how to market and research and do all these things. And, we're doing it in our spare time, and we're spending our own resources and money, and, we're doing it because we care. And, I mean, there's nobody making a dime off this. It's costing all of us money and time. But we're passionate about it. We believe in it. And anyone, whether it's California or another state, that is a parent that wants to stand up and do something about this, get a hold of us, and we'll definitely let you know what we've done, the steps we've taken, and share the resources that we have so that they can, get the ball rolling so that they're not, going through all of the steps that we've had to go through. We'll get them up to speed, and it won't take but, maybe a week of their own time to read some of the materials and to see some of the links. And we've got lots of videos. One of the things that I do is we record the events that we do, and we go online to YouTube, and we find videos of other, speakers, some of the ones coming to our event. And I download those, and I put together my own custom-made videos, which are not online, but we show them at our meetings, which, document the words of those that are behind Common Core. We've got a lot of video of Bill Gates in 2009 when he talked about, we will only know if these standards work when the tests and the curriculum are aligned to it. And yet I will talk to parents to this very day in my local school district, and they'll say, why are you against Common Core? I thought this was a great thing. It's just standards. Who's against standards? So I'm not against standards. We had standards. We've always had standards. I'm against these standards because of what they represent. But they're not just standards. And if you go back to Bill Gates, go back to David Coleman, you go back to any of these individuals that were part of it, they will say in their own words, and we've got video of it, that it's not just standards, that the tests must align to the standards, and of course, in order to get the tests right, the curriculum has to align to the tests. So it's all aligned to itself and to each other. So it's not simply standards. Anybody who believes that's just misinformed, and we've got the documentation and the videos, the audio, to prove it out of their own words, not my words, but their words.
David, this is Tracy. Hey, I give you kudos. You've been doing this a lot longer than I have. I just jumped into this about 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
I have actually been looking on the assessment side of it and found out it goes a little bit deeper. I don't know. UCLA bought into Smarter Balanced, and UCLA just got a brain mapping grant from aren't these parents, once they find out about this stuff, kind of a little concerned? Because there is a connection there.
You know, the smart balance is something that I'm just starting to learn about, too. But you're absolutely right. They're actually taking all kinds of technology, whether it's the brain mapping, whether it's facial expressions through the cameras on the computers, whether it's hooking up these wireless skin sensors to the children's wrists as they're taking tests. They've got pressure mechanisms on the mouse, so that as the kids are taking these tests online, and they're how they squeeze the mouse or how their pulse rate maybe changes based on the question. It may be an invasive question, or it may just be a difficult math question. But when they can see these physical changes in the child, it's all documented in the data. And they track all this. And they can tell, how a child is reacting to these things. But they can also tell whether the question has, maybe something to do with same-sex marriage or homosexuality or things on that level, and how the child reacts to it, which tells them the persuasions of their parents and things that they've learned at home, whether they go to church, whether they have these, certain Judeo-Christian standards, or whether they have no standards at all, and the question, they're reading the question as if it's just old history, and they answer it, and they have no response to it at all. So they're really tracking this data in an insidious way. You're exactly right. And the smart balance gets really deep into that.
Well, I noticed the state of California actually, I think it was just this year, signed a contract with Smarter Balanced. So they will be releasing some of the information to UCLA. They're called memberships under Smarter Balanced. And it's interesting to see, because once it gets into the UC system, of course, your brain mapping is connected to that. So I thought that was interesting. When parents find out, do they think you're crazy, David? Because I'm having that problem sometimes.
Oh, you know what? I've had parents that are part of our group go to the preschool that their children went through to pass out flyers for these events, literally standing on the sidewalk, which is perfectly legal, and had administrators come out, secretaries come out and say, you can't do that, it's illegal, I'm calling the cops. And it's like, I'm just informing people of this Board of Education meeting about Common Core. It's your tax dollars at work. Your Board of Education has voted to put this on. I just want to inform parents. And they say, no, you have to leave. And we've been at schools. They've threatened us, telling us that we had to leave, which in most cases, or in some cases, we don't. And the police have shown up. And we just tell them we're passing out information on the sidewalk, which is perfectly legal. And they say, yeah, just don't go onto the school grounds. But this is our problem. The schools are not only dragging their feet on giving us answers, but the schools are not allowing us to have access to parents. So we're having a very difficult time getting the word out. We don't have, thousands of dollars to do radio ads. So we're literally on the street marching, passing out flyers in our neighborhoods, going to local libraries and handing flyers to, we don't go paper cars. We don't walk into a parking lot at the local mall and paper windshields. We don't do that. We go and we hand these directly to parents, wherever we can find them, to our neighbors, to our churches. And we talk to people about it, and we make a connection with them, because people have false information on it. They believe it's just simply standards and not any more than that, that it's not curriculum, it's not testing, it's not data mining. And many people, like we've talked today about the sexuality standards and smart balance and other things, they don't even know about it or what it is. So we're trying to inform ourselves, and then we're trying to inform the public at large, and especially parents. And it's a very difficult thing when the schools themselves aren't allowing you to do it and have access to where you're going to find parents, which is at school when school starts and school ends.
And
what is
the reaction of the parents when you hand them this stuff? Obviously, they're not going to stand there and read it. Maybe some of them do, but perception of all this is? Do you think they care, or do you think?
I think that your average parent cares. But I think that they simply look at it like, I just don't have time. I'm overwhelmed. I can't educate myself on this. I'm trying to make ends meet, or, you know, my child has a particular issue that I have to deal with, or they're in sports or dance or whatever, and life's just hectic. And so they may be concerned or interested, but they just don't take it to heart and make it part of their, you know, their daily routine, or even to cut out a portion of their day to come to an event like this.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's what makes programs like this successful, is there's not enough kickback on it. And parents are busy, but...
Well, but people look at it now. If you have both parents working, pulling your kids out of school isn't really one of the choices.
No.
And yeah. Most people, when they look at it, changing, look what's going on. You know, we've got everything is upside down. You know, the economy's upside down. We've got Ebola, and you've got, the czars, and you've got just a whole, the IRS thing, Benghazi, ISIS. People are bombarded. And then
right.
You go, hey, the public school system's here to, complete that crazy indoctrination they started in the 60s. And now they have the technology to make, Goebbels look like a real pro.
Absolutely.
People go, I can't take anymore. Hey, so let's take a quick break on that happy note there. Bill's over here. His head's going to explode. This is new for a lot. It's kind of Tracy and I are having fun just watching.
Put a helmet on.
Meltdown. Yeah, exactly. We're going to go get a helmet for Bill. You are listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. If you want to call us, it's 530-605-4567.
Guns is Fort, Redding Full Line Gun Shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's Full Line Gun Shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hello, this is Frank Muse. I would like to invite everybody Wednesday the 29th to come to the Shasta District Fairgrounds for a free truck and bus regulation conference. We're going to have CARB, local agencies, vendors to discuss diesel equipment requirements. Everyone who thinks they're legal, who might not be, needs to show up. The phone number is 916-322-3937 and push 1 at the prompt to attend. Again, that's at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. We'll see you October 29th. Thanks a lot.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange sells a wide variety of freeze-dried emergency foods. But in times of crisis, all you need to do is add hot water. To help you heat that water, the Patriot now carries the Sun Rocket Solar Water Heater and Thermos. This amazing compact device can heat to a boil 2 cups of water in just over an hour using just ordinary sunlight. Use it in meal preparation, melt snow for drinking, and eliminate Giardia and other waterborne bacteria through heat pasteurization. It's ideal for camping, picnics, and sporting events, and essential in any home or auto emergency kit. Remember, peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way, next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And in Palisadro, we're in the Holiday Marketplace. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
Did you know Turtle Bay offers free admission to active duty military families? Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, Liberty on the Border, is a perfect opportunity to enjoy this perk. Starting October 11th, you can learn why the Civil War came about and the impact it still has on society today. Liberty on the Border is presented by Senator Maurice and Marianne Johannesson, supported by Best Western Plus Hilltop Inn, C.R. Gibbs American Grill, and KCNR 1460 AM Free Fire Media. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
This goes with the second grade curriculum for Common Core.
That's one of the questions.
Hey, teachers come in all funky. Yeah. I'm going to have to ask my sister. She teaches fourth grade.
Want to make some money, Johnny?
Oh, my gosh. We shouldn't laugh, but we can't help
ourselves.
I swear,
10 years ago, if you'd have mentioned any of this in a second grade classroom, they'd have you in handcuffs and you wouldn't see the light of day for
I know.
Ever.
Now it doesn't matter what
now
you do.
It's mandatory.
So, hey, I guess Gary called in and we had our signals screwed up. You know, as happens every now and then on a Sunday morning. And I didn't know what Bob was telling me. He was telling me Gary called in. He told me that in real life during the break, so.
In real life.
Yeah, in real life, Bob. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, Gary had an answer to your question, Bill, about what the world would look like or what we would look like 10 or 15 years from now with Common Core. He said it would be a combination of three novels. Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, Orwell's 1984, and Ayn Rand's
Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah,
don't forget Soylent Green.
The trifecta.
Yeah, without the magical Galt's Gulch where the rest of us escape who still have common sense and know what 50-cent pieces are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I had to read Brave New World in 1984 back in high school.
Yeah,
I was
we all did.
Being indoctrinated back then. Now you have to read it in the second grade, apparently.
Yeah, they'll absorb that just like Kool-Aid.
Oh, man. So, David, we've got about 6 minutes before the top of the hour, and you have a thing at 9 o'clock. You told us that. So besides the fact the news is going to cut us off, what do you want to leave us with this morning before we talk to Dr. Pesta?
Well, you know, the one of the things I wanted to add here is the fact that what parents can do, how they can affect change in their local community. And if you get just a few people together to go to your local school board and speak out, you can make changes. And one of the things that we've done with the maybe dozen or so of us parents that take time out once a month to go down and speak at our Orange County Board of Education is that we've informed them of what's going on within the schools regarding these assessment surveys, the Healthy Kids Survey, and some of the other non-curricular activities that have been going on. What I found out is that the California State Education Code, especially 5151.3, if someone wants to look that up, states that the schools cannot give your kids these assessment surveys and these questionnaires without getting written parental consent by sending home a form requesting written consent and giving information about what that assessment is going to be about. And then there must be a legal disclaimer told to the classroom that they do not have to take this test, that if there's any questions on it that they object to, they do not have to take it. And what I found is the school districts are not following the law. And most of the school districts in Orange County, the boards themselves, the elected school boards in each district, are passing their own policies that essentially say, we'll send a form home saying that we're going to be doing something at school. It could, you know, this is a separate issue, but sort of like going on a field trip, getting permission to put your kid on that bus. Mm-hmm. And the parents see this form, and it says, if you don't object to this, if you don't give us written objection, your kid will be submitted to this questionnaire or this test or whatever it is, which is exactly the opposite. So what parents need to know is they'll hear this idea of opt-out. You can opt out of certain things. And so we've followed that protocol, and we've created forms so that parents can fill these out and opt out by informing their teachers and their principals and their districts that they don't want their kids taking all of these other data mining assessments. But the law itself doesn't have opt-out. And so what the districts are doing is they've imposed what they call passive consent, and they have opted every child into these unless a parent objects. So what we did is we got the Board of Education to agree to print up an information flyer for parents that will go home with every single child in our county, informing the parents that there's no such thing as opt-out, that there's no such thing as passive consent, and that they need to be informed that their child cannot take any of these data mining assessments unless they agree to it, one assessment at a time. And that's going to force the hand of the school districts to start being more transparent.
They're going to start kidding.
So we are, you know, we're making inroads, and we'll see if they follow this. But we've also been in contact with the Pacific Justice Institute, and they've told us if they violate this, if they discriminate against your kids because they opt out and other kids don't, you know, if they allow certain kids to have a cookie or they allow certain kids to have more recess because they take the test and they don't let your kid, a lawsuit will be filed. And so we're not only getting the power of legal counsel on our side, pro bono, but we're getting the Orange County Board of Education and the, you know, the administration of these types of issues to be pushed forward on the behalf of the parents of the public school system. So we can make a difference. We can make things change. We just have to be persistent. And in our case, it's taken almost a year. And in most cases, I think a lot of parents will give up and they just say, you know, I'm not gonna spend my whole life doing this. But if you give it enough time, you'll start to see positive changes. And if this happens in district after district and county after county, we can change what's going on in California.
Well, I think that's a really great point to bring up to people. And we have attached all those things that you gave us on the website. So for folks that are looking for those opt-outs and all the different things he referred to, and, you know, would you get back to me, send me a detailed email about your meeting tomorrow night at the
Absolutely.
School board, and we'll post it on this webpage so people can come back later and it'll refresh, and we'll have update on how the Orange County Board of Education hearing goes on Common Core.
Yeah, because as this thing goes down the road, it's more parents have to step forward. I just can't believe that these meetings wouldn't just get larger and larger and larger. And if they don't, we're in serious trouble.
And this isn't just parents. I think a lot of this is going to wind up being, you know, fought by grandparents and sometimes it's folks with time, and sometimes it's a lot of folks with no time. So anyway.
You're right. A lot of grandparents involved.
All right. Well, thank you, David.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, David.
Aaron and Bill.
Thanks a million. And Tracy's going to be our David. She's our local David. That's why we wanted her in here.
Go, Tracy, go.
Oh, thanks, David. I'll be probably getting in touch with you.
Excellent. Okay. Yes. If we can give you any encouragement or help in any way, you let us know.
Okay, we'll do that.
Thank you.
Outstanding. Thanks a lot. You guys have a great board meeting.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We are going to have another hour of Common Core. We're going to be joined by Dr. Duke Pesta, and there will be more goofing off, so stay tuned. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and all the documents we talked about this last hour are on there for you.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Dallas hospital workers who first treated the Liberian man who died of Ebola earlier this month are almost through the virus 21-day incubation period.
It's not a quarantine, but they'll be free to go. It's a protective order, and it will expire for them at midnight tonight, and that's going to be a good thing for those families who've been through so much.
That's Judge Clay Jenkins. He's the top administrator for Dallas County, talking to ABC-TV. Dr. Anthony Fauci of the National Institutes of Health says the workers were left vulnerable because some of their skin was exposed. Revised guidelines for healthcare workers treating Ebola will include protective gear with no skin showing. The Supreme Court will allow Texas to use its controversial new voter identification law for the November election.
A majority of the nation's highest court on Saturday rejected an emergency request from the Justice Department and civil rights groups to prohibit the state from requiring voters to produce certain forms of photo identification in order to cast ballots. The Supreme Court's order was unsigned, but three justices dissented. The law was struck down by a federal judge last week, but a federal appeals court had put that ruling on hold. Early voting in Texas begins Monday. Patrick Foss, SRN News, Dallas.
Virginia authorities waiting for results from additional forensic tests on human remains that could be those of missing University of Virginia student Hannah Graham. Albemarle County Police say a volunteer search for Graham that had been planned for today has been canceled so law enforcement can turn their attention to the new evidence unearthed yesterday. A Pakistani police officer says eight laborers have been abducted and killed by unknown gunmen in a part of southwestern Pakistan where insurgents operate. The laborers were working in Baluchistan's province poultry industry. Baluchistan is sparsely populated. This is SRN News.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now 1-800-299-2896. 1-800-299-2896. That's 1-800-299-2896.
The most important meeting of the year for the 205 members of China's ruling Communist Party Central Committee begins tomorrow. It's to focus on how to rule the country in accordance with law. This has fed hopes that the party might move to respect the letter and spirit of the Chinese Constitution. But some legal experts and political analysts say the country's leaders are intent on expanding their power, not limiting it. There may be some efforts at the four-day plenum to discourage rampant corruption in low-level courts, however, but the key goal will be to build a legal system that protects and strengthens the party's political dominance, according to analysts. Iraqi authorities in the country's western Anbar province have lifted a curfew imposed Friday in the provincial capital of Ramadi over fears that ISIS might try to advance on the city. ISIS fighters continue to shell some neighborhoods with mortar rounds but have failed to seize additional territory in Ramadi. The group had been making gains around the city in recent weeks. This is SRN News. Anaheim, California is literally pulling the plug on pot shops that keep opening up despite a city law forbidding the businesses.
The city is cutting off water and power to the marijuana dispensaries. The Orange County Register reports 9 shops closed last month. 8 others are about to be shuttered, if not already closed. Though state voters legalized medical marijuana, the California Supreme Court ruled last year that cities can choose to forbid dispensaries. Anaheim banned the shops, but that hasn't kept them from doing business.
SRN's Rich Thomason. London firefighters have extinguished a small blaze on the 19th-century sailing ship Cutty Sark, a tourist attraction that was restored after a major fire in 2007. The London Fire Brigade has 4 engines and about 20 firefighters were called to the blaze this morning and that a small part of the ship was damaged. Cutty Sark was launched in 1869. She was the fastest ship of her day. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, there we go. Hour 2 of We the People.
I feel so much better.
You do?
Yeah. I took my blood pressure medication. I'm back.
I thought we were going to have another crack about the handle. I guess we've left that go now.
Yeah. Let go of the handle.
We let go of the handle.
Yeah.
Those of you who didn't listen to the first hour, you won't get that joke. It's probably best. Okay. It was about the sex ed part of Common Core. Yeah, you know, this stuff just gets more stressful the farther we get into it, all of us. And I'm sure Dr. Duke Pest is going to not help that at all. But that's not why we asked him to come on. We asked him to come on because, you know, honestly, people need to wake up. We've been talking about this. We've done several shows on Common Core, and I know lots of other people have been talking about it for years. And yet, now that kids have gone back to school and people are seeing what is in the curriculum and how screwed up it is, finally, now they're listening. So we have Tracy Mann here, who's a mom, and got involved because she called me and said, what do you guys know about this stuff? And now she's getting active in their community and telling other parents. And so got Bill, Aaron, Bob, and Tracy. Dr. Pesta, that's our big introduction. It's our whopping introduction for the beginning here.
Good morning.
Are you hiding out there?
I am here. I was marveling in that thorough introduction. It was wonderful. Yeah, well done.
Very thorough. Yeah. I didn't get into what we were all wearing, but that seemed irrelevant. And we've watched you on video, so we have the luxury of knowing exactly what you look like. We don't know where you are, though. We're not Google. We haven't tracked you yet, but we've watched all your videos, and Tracy actually became very active in this because she watched your videos. So just in case you thought no one was watching, they are.
Well, I appreciate that, Tracy, very much.
You're welcome. Okay, so you have your master's in Renaissance literature from John Carroll and a PhD in Shakespeare and Renaissance literature from Purdue. So
that is correct.
And we won't be teaching most of that anymore, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody's going to have a degree in education and weird sociology in about 20 years, so they're going to get rid of everything else.
Oh, that's awesome. Jeez. So we have an hour that will blow by here. We will follow you. Where would you like to take us this morning?
Well, I'm wide open. I noticed that you mentioned the sexuality stuff. We can talk about that, but probably the best thing to do is give a brief overview of what Common Core is in case you have any new listeners out there or
nice.
Ones that are unaware, because it is a complicated issue.
Fire away.
Well, excuse me, Common Core is a complicated topic. They've done this for 5 years now. Most moms and dads are just now beginning to have a sense of it, and that's all by design. This has been dug deep. It was done behind closed doors. It was infiltrated into about 45 states without anybody in the state really having a sense of it was, what a sense of what it was. But if in the most brief terms, Common Core has 2 main problems. The first of which is it's the federal component that is seizing education. It's taking power and control away from local and state schools. It's making it much harder by design, for parents and local communities to have control and governance over what their kids are taught and how they're taught. And the more time goes by and the more they consolidate this at the federal level, they're going to make it absolutely impossible to have any meaningful control in your local communities. That's the first thing. The second problem is how ideological it is. As the federal government feeds most of this to itself, more and more of education to itself, it is in a perfect position to rewrite and restructure American education ideologically along the lines that it wants to go, which inevitably means, as we've seen for the past 8 years, which inevitably means that more relationship to government, more sociology, more social engineering of our kids, and much less education.
And all of that we could have done without. Or most of it. I mean, what happened?
No, pretty
what
much
happened
all of it, I think.
Yeah, the reading, the writing, you know, that kind of thing.
The 3 R's.
Well, the shocking thing is that we've only got English and math put in place right now. And those have been such a disaster. Science is now being fed in, and it's really bad. Social studies and history are coming. The other day I saw a first prototype of the new physical education standards, Common Core, Phys Ed. And your kids in Phys Ed are going to be doing a lot more reading, writing, and learning about sex than they are running and jumping in gym class from now on.
Oh, is that where the sex is going to be? It's in gym. Oh, that's
well, sure,
great.
Right? All that rope climbing, people get a good look, I suppose. But
back to it's not a handle. Let's just do the theme for today. Yeah, oh, that's great. So now the gym teachers, we're not going to need to go out and get healthy. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to sit inside and obsess about things that really they don't need to worry about.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And when you combine the new physical education curriculum, which is going to be Common Core standardized, with the new lunches that Michelle Obama is feeding kids, the good news is that kids aren't going to be burning many calories in gym, so that they won't be as hungry. So the little arugula lunches they get will make perfect sense.
Wow. Everything you say, there's like this big pause at the end because we're all just sitting here staring at each other going, what the heck?
Well, the whole thing is just, it's taken root because I think people, well, number one, they didn't see it coming. And
people didn't, honestly, most people don't believe.
Well,
that,
I don't think they really understood what it was going to entail. They didn't see it. It's kind of like the Obamacare. We had to pass it to see what was in it. And now we see what's in it and it's too late.
No, that's a great point. And the fact is that say what you will about Obamacare, I really despise it. But and a lot of
we
people
do.
But
I'm
at
glad
least
they
had a hearing. I realize Nancy Pelosi's famous line about not knowing what's in it until you pass it, and there's certainly truth to that. But Common Core was aired publicly. You had debates in the Senate and the Congress. You had a Supreme Court hearing on Obamacare. None of that was done with Common Core. Nobody was consulted. Teachers weren't consulted, moms and dads, no state ever had a chance to vote on it, no legislature anywhere in the country was voted on it, the governors didn't have a say. It's really pretty shocking when you think about it. I think this is every bit as transformative, more transformative even than Obamacare, and nobody had the vaguest idea what it was, or where it came from, who did it or why they did it, and who paid for it.
Yeah, and now they're paying for it, getting nothing, you know. And the bill's ready to go up. See, it's all this incrementalism, and that's what's happening with Common Core, too. It just comes in a little at a time, and by the time it actually surrounds you, then people are panicking because they can't find the exit.
Yep, exactly. It started very slowly. They took years and years to begin to implement slowly, to get all their ducks in a row, to pass very minor, states passed very minor changes to allow them, the state education people, that allowed them to bring this in without really consulting anybody. And as with so much of this big government stuff, now that it's really rolling downhill, people are aware of it. They just don't, it's overwhelming. A lot of people, like the gentleman just said, a lot of people, they don't know how to get their minds around this. And so for a fair number of us, we just put our heads in the sand and hope we're not going to get crushed by it, when we really need to be actively understanding what it is and then combating it.
So if you had to, say, prioritize the things that people really need to look at first, the stuff that's the, I don't know if it's the scariest or the most dangerous or the thing that's going to be the hardest to reverse, and they had some limited time to focus on it, where would you start them?
I think the easiest way in is to, there's a twofold thing. educate yourself and educate other people. This can only be won if right now maybe 1 in 100 moms in California, maybe more than that, 200 moms have the vaguest idea even what Common Core is. And that's what they're counting on. They're counting on the moms and dads who have these kids in the schools, don't know, don't care, too busy, not interested. And that's how they get this done. So the first thing that has to happen is those moms and dads and those of us who understand what it is, we need to continuously be trying to get other people on board. That's the first immediate thing. And then the second thing is once you do that, then the first component that you can tackle that is fairly manageable is to try to move your state to get, or at least your local school district, to get out of this testing, to allow parents to opt out, to opt your own kids out of these tests. Because one of the things that genuinely makes it federal is this national testing. You've got all these standards coming into the schools all across the country, but he who controls the test controls the curriculum. That's what Bill Gates said. Back in 2009, when Bill Gates paid for all of this, he made the statement that, and he stands by it today, that once the Common Core tests are aligned to the state's Common Core, then the curriculum will line up as well. And that's a threat, and that's a promise. And what they're telling you is that in California, you get your first standardized national test this year. You're about to get them. And so what that tells you is, what Gates is saying, is that the purpose of Common Core isn't even necessarily to educate your children. It's to allow the government, to allow the people behind the Common Core to dictate to teachers and local communities what will be taught. Teachers lose flexibility, they lose their ability to teach to the kids sitting in front of them, and now they have to teach specifically to national exams because that's the only way those teachers are going to be evaluated themselves in terms of their performance and their retention. So this is even backed up. The two big testing consortiums, there's Smarter Balance and PARCS, those are the two that we're testing. In California, you're using Smarter Balance. But a couple months ago, the CEO of PARC Testing came out and admitted that the purpose of the test was simply to drive curriculum. So everybody knows that these tests aren't going to tell you anything meaningful. How are you going to give one basic test to 60 million American school kids and expect it to tell you anything at all about what's going on in your kid's classroom? Nobody believes that. Even the Common Core people believe that. What they recognize is that by aligning all the states and having the states give up their ability to test and teach, by aligning them all to this national paradigm, what you are guaranteeing is that the people in charge, the very few people in charge of this testing at the top, get to decide what your kids learn, how they learn it, and how they'll be tested on it.
Tracy?
Dr. Duke, you know, I know you've been talking to a lot of states. Do you see any movement? I know a lot of states are backing out. I thought I heard or read something about 30 states trying to back out.
There were four states who never took Common Core to begin with, and those were Alaska, Nebraska, Virginia, and Texas. In the last 6 months, we've had another 5 pull out. And right now, as we talk today, there are over 300 pieces of legislation sitting in 40 different state houses to try to kill and or dramatically amend Common Core. That's the good news. The bad news is that even in states that have pulled out or states that never took it, Common Core is already creeping in. Texas is a good example. Texas was the most vociferous, not surprisingly, Texas was the most vociferous state. Once they knew what it was and rejecting it, they rejected it at the state level. They made a very strong statement against it. And yet Texas, like California, is such a huge place with thousands of school districts. The state legislature cannot police them all. And so local schools have just gone ahead and bought the Common Core textbooks anyway. And they're teaching them. Breitbart Texas has a great place on their website where Texas moms and dads can post Common Core assignments and Common Core pedagogy in their schools where it's not supposed to be so everyone can see it. And then there's Indiana. Indiana became the first state that pulled out that had taken it. And it was Republican Governor Mike Pence who got so much pressure and blowback from the people of Indiana that he knew he had to pull them out. So what Pence did is he pulled Indiana out of Common Core. But then, unbelievably, he turned the writing of the new education curriculum for Indiana, he turned it right back over to the state DPI, the Department of Public Instruction. And what they did is they simply kept 95% of Common Core, and they stamped it Indiana standard. So it was a total bait and switch. So even when states pull out, you have to have vigilant. And this is what the feds are doing every by hook and crook across the board.
What do you think, or do we know what the ramifications will be to these states that pull out of Common Core as far as federal funding, and, you know, not just in the education program, but in other places, federal highway funds?
Yeah, you know, right now the federal government, it's all just bullying and threat. Keep in mind that most states that took Common Core, whether they're governed by Republicans or liberals, Democrats, most states that took it not because of its value or not because it was going to work, but because of all the federal dollars that the states were using to bribe states. Were using to bribe states. So the fact is that most states, almost every state that has Common Core, ultimately took it by participating in the federal Race to the Top program. Race to the Top is a federal program created by President Obama and Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education. Back in 2009, it was a giveaway. States were encouraged to apply for federal money, and any state that received that money was only obligated to accept the Common Core state standards when they were finally written. So basically the federal government created a program and gave billions of taxpayer dollars to the states with the proviso that any state that took the money would have to accept the standards when they were finally written. And that's how more than 40 states got the curriculum, got the program sight unseen. Now, interestingly, the Race to the Top program that gave them all that money, for example, in 2009, New York State won a $700 million grant from Race to the Top. That money went right to the Department of Education. They spent it on whatever they wanted to. And so in 2009, the state of New York loved it. They took the money, and they would worry about the standards when they were finally released. That's how the government did this. But if you signed up for Race to the Top money, and most states did, you don't have to pay that back if you get out of Common Core, because the Race to the Top application paid you to take the standards. It didn't delineate how long you had to keep them. So they can't punish you that way. But what the feds are doing is they're threatening and they're revoking waivers and they're doing all sorts of really illegal things to states that want to get out. One of the big lies of Common Core, and this is a big one, in fact, it may be the main lie that your educators, your administrators, your politicians are telling you about Common Core, perhaps the biggest lie is that it's state-led. If it were genuinely state-led, how was the federal government able to bribe it into your schools? And why is the federal government seeking to punish states that leave it? If it's truly state-led, then there should be no consequence for states that
want to leave. Exactly. Exactly, yeah. No, there's and anyone that doesn't believe the federal government wouldn't cross the line and maybe take away your highway funds or your federal parks.
Knows they're bad now.
No, they'll
everybody's abandoned them.
Well, and it's our own fault. We've taken so much federal money.
They siphon it off and then they pitch it back.
Yeah. Well, I'm really surprised that New York actually, when they got their money, spent it on education. You know.
Well, they sort of had no choice, but there are a lot of ways you can, by spending it on education and dedicating some of that money to raises for union bosses and school administrators, I wouldn't call that spending it on education. So they trust me, New York is as good as it gets in finding ways to use that money for purposes and making it look like they're doing the right thing.
Oh, I'm sure administration and teachers and everybody else got a huge raise out of that one, and the kids benefited nothing.
We can mull that over. We've got to take a really swift break here.
Yeah.
Or we'll have them all at the same time.
Yeah, my blood pressure's going up
again. And that take the Bill's blood pressure's up again. We've got to take him away. Yeah. Take his headphones off for a couple minutes.
Step away from the microphone.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio. We're here with Dr. Duke Pesca and Tracy and Bill and Aaron and Bob. It's a great morning talking crap about the government. Gonna like it. It's a perfect song, too.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Chris. November 11th, Haven's monthly Second Tuesday Club meets in Wind River Casino.
We're gaming?
No, eating. Join our Haven Humane supporters Tuesday, November 11th at Wind River Casino in Elements Restaurant or Creekside Grill. Your support will allow Haven to continue to help thousands of animals with shelter and homes as Wind River kindly donates a portion of the proceeds from both restaurants to Haven's efforts.
Wow, two locations? We're really coming up in the world.
You know, sometimes you really scare me.
Only sometimes?
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find a gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KC. KCNR.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Telling me you're a genius since you were 17. And all the time I've known you, I still don't know what to do. The weekends at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand. Are you reeling in the
year? Nice one, Bob.
Yeah. Things that pass for knowledge you can't understand. You don't know the half of it.
And the stuff that we used to learn, it's not allowed anymore. It's out. You know, we were just laughing during the break, Dr. Pesta, that Shakespeare actually should be very popular because there's a lot of sex in Shakespeare.
Yeah, you know, if people understand what Shakespeare's saying, I mean, this would be the front and center part of the Common Core English.
You would think that would be a mainstay.
Spend a whole section a day having kids decipher Elizabethan euphemisms for genitals. That would be right up the alley of the Common Core.
In the second grade, they'll latch right onto that.
They could learn how to spell those instead of the other things that are. I mean, it's too creepy for me to say. I'm 53 years old and I won't say it on the radio. It's like, yeah. And somebody's going to have to go teach it. Blah. Yucky, yucky.
And there's very little you won't say on the radio.
I know, yeah. I know.
As a teacher, you'd have to take a sick day.
I would, too. I'd be hiding in the back.
Calling the aid.
Yuck. So you've looked at this now at the college level. This has been a factor for how long?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The universities, much of this stuff comes from university departments of education. The whole philosophy of Common Core is it's a sort of an ugly emanation of what universities have been teaching for a long time, the social justice garbage and all the rest of it. But the universities themselves are largely unmoved by it yet. They have not had to deal with it. I can tell you this. And look, as a 22-year university professor who's not a liberal, you can imagine what my life has been like working in college.
Yeah, the break room,
however progressive, however intolerant many of our professors are politically, they don't want to teach. If you're a progressive math teacher, you don't want to teach remedial math to your kids. If you're an English professor, you don't want to have to teach your kids how to read because they don't know how to do it. So what's going to happen is there's going to be eventually a conflict between our own university ideologies, which are supportive of big government, love everything that Obama does, and then the reality of the kids who are starting to get college in the next few years who are going to be even more remedial than they are now. And so the question is, in the long run, how will the universities handle that? My view is, given the fecklessness of universities, I suspect what the federal government will do is throw billions of dollars at them next to get them to swallow it and take the stuff and adjust their standards down to meet where these kids are. If I had to bet, I bet that's what would happen in the future.
That's a sorry, sorry place to be, because right now, I mean, we're looking at, I was kind of laughing, but it wasn't really very funny. I was looking at my Twitter feed this morning at 2 o'clock, and apparently Pumpkin Fest in New Hampshire, there right by Kent State, turned into a complete free-for-all, burning cars and riot gear and the whole thing. And if you look back, 16 hours, it was a bunch of kids and people carving pumpkins, and they're having their annual thing, and then all of a sudden it turns into burning cars and tear gas. And it was all the college, tons of college students, and the things that they were posting online. And I thought, man, these kids, what are they thinking? They're saying what they did. Their face is on there, and it's on their own Twitter feed.
Yeah, you're exactly right. If you look at what's going on in colleges, the kind of stuff we're seeing now in Common Core, it's basically just a bleed down of the chaos that has become the American university. So the scary thing is that it's one thing for drunken 19-year-old morons to do this on a college campus. It's another thing when you're starting to import that methodology, that mindset, that irreverence, and that chaos into the classrooms of sixth graders and fourth graders and second graders. That's a big deal, and that's sort of what's coming here. And, universities for a long time now have been much more concerned about pampering kids and welcoming as many students on campus as possible. Think about this. One of the very first things President Obama did when he became president, before almost anything else, is he federalized the student loan program, which means, 10, 20 years ago, if you wanted to go to college, you're a young woman, you want to go to college, you went to a bank, and you said, I want $150,000 in student loans to become a creative writing major, they'd have laughed in your face. But the federal government says, under the social justice initiatives of Obama, that's not fair. People should get all the money they want to major in anything they want, whether they can pay it back or not. And so we now have a situation where American college kids have $1.2 trillion with a T, $1.2
trillion
in federal student loan debt, and nobody thinks anyone's ever going to pay that back. And I'll tell you what's going to happen, and it may happen in 2016. But one Democrat politician running for president is going to win the entire under 40 vote by simply promising to waive all student loans because the federal government underwrites them now. You watch that.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a great point. And, unfortunately, right now, with all this coming into the schools, our generation are the parents today are going to be the last line of defense to keep what we know as society intact, because these kids are going to grow up, and in 10 years, it's going to be common for all this stuff.
I think many of the parents, we've already lost them. Many of the people in their 40s now, 40s and 50s and late 30s, they were already raised in an educational situation that has much more in common with Common Core than it does with people of an older generation. I've given 250 talks in 35 states in 15 months on Common Core, and it's always the same thing. My audience is 70% grandmas and grandpas, the older generation who did actually have a good education. The grandmas and grandpas, and it's only 30% moms and dads. And if that's going to continue to be the case, then it's going to be very, very hard to make any movement against it.
That's right. That's right. We're going to have, and then what's coming? That's another thing is,
yeah, gosh,
you think
know
Common
that they're
Core's
already
bad? There's going to be stuff right behind that is going to change America.
Well, that's a great point. And the whole purpose of Common Core is ultimately control. It's not about education. So what Common Core has to be beaten, not because by beating it you fix the problem. If we got rid of Common Core tomorrow, all we will have accomplished is for a short period of time, break up the federal control. You have to do that. Because as we know, once the federal government nationalizes something, they never, ever give it back to the states, no matter how bad it is. But if we killed Common Core tomorrow, we would break up the federal component for the short term, and then we would immediately, at stake, have to get into our state schools and pull out all this junk that's already there. So it's a twofold process.
Sure, because you'll have more...
The states are just as bad as the feds. But at least at the state level, you have more control than you would have
right.
over
that's
a federal
exactly
set of
right.
standards.
On a state level, you now can elect people into positions to make the change. You're not going to have any luck with that on a federal level.
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, when we went to school, nobody took, you know, some of the stuff that they can major in, you know, lesbian studies. Really? But now, you know, we made fun of it for a number of years. So I don't know what the timeline is on this. But, you know, when I was in college in the 80s, if somebody said they were majoring in that, it's like, are you insane? I did have a roommate. She was majoring in some sort of sex thing back when I didn't have a clue how that worked. And I thought, what are you going to do for a living? You know,
well, that's the thing.
And now she's probably rich.
People become community activists. They become organized.
I was going to say, she's probably doing really well.
These are the people. They have no meaningful way to make a living. And so they're the ones who are, the sheer bulk of them now, are absolutely transforming our system from an educational paradigm based on giving kids basic facts, information, and skills to what, for lack of a better word, can only be called a radical social justice approach. And look, you need look no further than the White House to see what kind of people we produce who are not based in facts or skills or abilities, but are based instead on empty politics and rhetoric and social agitation. I mean, we now have a president, the first president we now have, who has been educated under this paradigm. And you see the damage it wreaks. And you also see, and I think I can say this because Americans are beginning to see this. It's too bad it took so long. But how utterly shallow this kind of thinking is. I mean, the inability of our administration to handle, like adults, serious issues because they just don't have a fact-based, historically realistic account of anything. It's all fluff and sociology, and it's all catchphrases and buzzwords. In very short order, this will be America's future unless we right the ship.
Oh, yeah, because right now you don't need to back up what your opinion is in fact. If you get nailed on a fact, you go right to name-calling and
right. But look no farther than the Common Core math. Again, if you can do 10 minus 7, 3 is not one of the choices.
No.
You have to go through this convoluted deal. So there is no right and wrong.
A group think to get the right answer.
No right and wrong. I mean, what a wonderful little tour we're going to take these guys on. So we live in, not everybody who listens is a Californian, but we're trapped here in California with a K when it comes to education. And, but we're in the conservative end. You never hear anything about. We're up here away from the beaches and the big freeways and the mountain lion overpass.
With no representation.
$10 million.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, everybody else in the rest of the country, everybody scratches their head and says, why do people stay there?
I know.
Because with all the politics and, good Lord, the fact that you've got Jerry Brown as your governor and you're going to get him again, people don't get it. But then I have never in my life been to San Diego. My plane flew in there. I walked off the plane and I'm like, oh, I get why they stay
there.
You're
like,
uh-oh. Gorgeous. I mean, it makes perfect sense why people don't want to leave.
Although
businesses are fleeing by the thousands. So that's the problem we've got. California, you know, California could simply replicate the kind of leadership they had in the 50s and 60s, basic, sober, conservative leadership. This California could completely transform America.
We could go back to what it was.
As going the way it's going, it's pulling America down with it, and that's the problem.
We were the Golden State. I mean, we had one of the largest economies in the world, California. I mean, it was the place to go if you wanted to start a business and make money and raise a family in good weather and barbecue 12 months out of the year. I mean, this is where you wanted to live. But they have completely turned that around now. It's not business.
Yeah, it shows you still the absolute power and relevance of California, that if they were just to become go move the other way, they would lead this nation pretty quickly in absolute revitalization. And yet, with the governors, the politicians, the initiatives, the big water and land grabs that are going on now, I'm sure within the drought, you know that. And it's all about control, centralized planning. And I don't want to get conspiratorial, but this is all Agenda 21 stuff. This is UN complicit in the garbage to try to minimize population densities and control people's ability to drive or to determine their own futures economically. It's a big deal.
Well, our politicians still believe that as California goes, the rest of the nation will follow. Yeah. That's not the case anymore, and they're just totally living in the past because California is going to crash. And when it does, I think they're looking for the federal government to bail them out, and the rest of the states are going to go, screw you, California. You get out of it. And it's going to be a big problem.
Well, we're at the end of the state where people want to get away.
The federal government we currently have in its structure, what choice will the other states have? How will the states be able to, if you've got the Obama people in charge, for instance, or perhaps Hillary or something like Obama, the federal government isn't going to consult the states on where they spend that money. The federal government will bail out a state like California, and I'm sure the politicians know this, so they're not terribly worried about how reckless they are until you get somebody in office who might stop that, and that's why these elections are so important.
See, I'm not too sure about that. I think politicians today, I mean, the idea of having career politicians in Washington today is a little bit in jeopardy. People are fed up with the status quo. And if you have a federal government that bails a state out because they made stupid decisions over the last 10 years, the rest of the states are going to start throwing people out right and left because they're not going to want to bail out a state that just made stupid choices and you know, they all drive a Volt.
Well, I really sincerely hope you're right. I'd love that to be the case.
We're done. We're done as a nation.
Yeah,
well,
I agree.
Up at our end of the state, people here for a while now since the 40s, have wanted to create a different state. We've wanted to be Northern California, or the name that has been kicked around since the 40s is Jefferson. Because honestly, we live in a very conservative area. I mean, everything north of Sacramento is basically very conservative. But we don't have the population. So the guys down there living in rabbit hutches on the metro line, you know, that might have one Prius. And so they're, you know, sitting in their little...
If you were able to get this Northern California state, which I love the idea of, what would you do with San Francisco?
We would leave them to the other guys. They could keep them. Yeah, we're not keeping them. They're not part of the deal.
Does redheaded stepchild mean anything to you?
Actually, Sacramento's in the wrong division too. There's a lot of California. You have hours and hours and miles north of Sacramento. There's a ton of state left that's got great resources, intelligent people, lots of folks who know how to work, but our miners can't go to work. Our timber folks don't work. All the things that we can do up here that make us very, very sustainable and resource rich, we're locked out of. Bye, guys.
Yeah, that's got to be the frustrating thing. I mean, California has not lost it. California just is not allowed to use it. It must be absolutely aggravating to see all the potential for entrepreneurship and for growth and have your federal government slamming doors in people's faces left and right, while at the same time adding insult to injury by doling out welfare and food stamps and all sorts of support, paying people not to work all those resources effectively.
Oh, yeah. The county to the north of us, one of the poorest in the state, they just watched a quarter of a billion acres burn up because they weren't allowed to manage the forest. Forest Service would rather burn it up. It's stunning.
I was in Idaho a few weeks ago, and it was exactly the same thing. That the people can't manage the land, which means you get these huge burns, and the feds let them burn because once the land burns to a certain point, they can confiscate it as no longer a productive land, and that's how they're moving people off land in Idaho. They're just letting it burn.
Yeah, it's an evil, never ending treasure trove of information you can dish out on our environmental policy. It's as big a travesty. That's why they have to do things like Common Core. Because honestly, regular people look at this and go, I don't get it.
Right.
It makes no sense to me.
And that's a great segue, because what Common Core is going to do is it's going to instill these same utterly irrational, but very passionate. That's the thing. All this stuff is irrational, but it's an emotional thing. And Common Core now is going to instill all of these values into 5 and 6 and 8 year olds, so that kids from the very beginning of their education fall right in line with the same kind of destructive and foolish thinking that's animating the American left today.
Yeah, the fact that it makes no sense is now doesn't matter, because now you can just get upset and name call. We need to take one more quick break, but when we come back, I'd really like to know what your thought is on the all this testing, you know, the stressing the kids out on the testing and all that, and where that's, well, we know what the outcome will be. I mean, it'll be bad, but what's the purpose of that, and what are they looking to achieve? So hang with us. We'll be back in like 2 minutes here. We're at wethepeopleradio.us online. Hope you'll join us. We've posted a lot of good information for you and resources for parents and whatnot, and broadcasting from here at KCNR 1460 AM.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, if this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460. I feel no shame, I'm proud of
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Grassroots radio at its very best. On Monday, we welcome Frank Strazzarino of the Chamber of Commerce. Let's find out why the Chamber of Commerce is backing certain candidates for city council and what measures they're backing and which ones they're against. Also joining us is Turtle Bay with the latest exhibits down there, Liberty on the Border, and the other educational exhibits they have. All of this Monday, right here, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Soon we'll always start in the same every day. The Pledge of Allegiance, then someone will pray. Not every kid made the team when they tried. We got disappointed, but that was alright. We turned out alright. It was a different life when we were boys and girls. Not just a different time. It was a different world.
It was. No helmets, no seatbelts. We drank water out of the hose.
We weren't all winners.
And we weren't all winners. That's right. And we made fun of the losers.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, you know, they turned out okay.
Bullying's all gone now.
Yeah, you can't
taking all the fun away.
Say the word, you're in trouble. Yeah. And no finger guns.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you'll go right to the office.
No cookies. So, Dr. Pesta, what's the insidious end for this testing business?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that we've had about 50 different academic studies done in the last 40 years, serious studies. And there's not the slightest correlation between state standards and national standards and how your kids perform in the classroom. This is a great lie. All the standardized testing, it began back when we created the Department of Education. We educated kids in this country very well for 200 years without a Department of Education. And then Barack Obama the First, otherwise known as Jimmy Carter, decided to create the Department of Education in the late 1970s, and the department had to justify why all those billions of dollars were going to it instead of going to the states for schools. So they created testing mechanisms that proved that everything was failing, even though it wasn't, so that they could justify their own existence and their own ways of trying to deal with it. And that's about the time we started to standardize. Standards moved from districts to states when it was disastrous, and then they moved now from No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top. They move from the states to the federal government. And the bigger and the broader the standard, the less impact they actually have. And so these tests tell how, I mean, I ask my audiences all the time, if you can't get your three children and your four grandkids to all achieve the same results in all the different subject areas, and nobody can, if you can't do it with your seven kids, the seven kids under your control, how are you going to do this for 60 million American school kids who all come from different backgrounds, different family situations, different economic backgrounds? You can't do this. You can't come up with a standard that big that's going to tell your teachers anything meaningful about what your kids are doing or not doing. So it's a huge waste of time and money. And all it does is take control away from the people who can really do it. The only standard that's ever worked in education is if you have a committed parent, a disciplined child, and an effective teacher. Anything above that starts to water it down. Mm-hmm. And Common Core is as far as you can get from that basic triad than anything else we've ever had. It's not going to work. And the tests tell us nothing. So we need to get back to the idea that teachers and classrooms and moms and dads have to have a bigger say in this. But, of course, we're up against a brick wall. Because once the Fed standardized and nationalized, it's almost impossible to break it up.
Is there a possibility, Dr. Duke Pesta, sorry, this is Tracy, is there a possibility that this Common Core stuff was just a way to get in from the government, and then from there they were going to take it in their own hands since they have the data, and with these brain initiative programs that Obama is so into, it sounds like they're actually hooked up to do the neuro, to actually get the emotions and the behaviors out and the moods of kids, and then actually watch them grow through the P20W that's hooked up to the assessments? Have you?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. The specifics are just being worked out, but there's no doubt that this is not really about teaching kids things. It's about stimulus. It's about response. It's about control. It's about psychoanalysis and psychotherapy. It's about sociology. One way you could look at Common Core, think about what Michelle Obama is doing to schools. Michelle Obama, who's never been elected to anything, is transforming these lunch programs off typical liberalism, ostensibly because kids are too fat. So kids are too fat, so we're gutting physical education programs and making them all about sociology. So the place where the kids could lose weight and actually exercise are being completely co-opted by all this liberal ideology. And so what do? They take all the good food out of the schools, they force kids to eat way too few calories, and this is the answer. And it's not about feeding kids healthy. It's not about keeping kids well. It's about basically starving kids for some abstract ideal that the liberal ideologue has. If you extrapolate that kind of thinking across the board with Common Core, then you see that every single aspect of your kid's health, wellness, and life is being pulled away from the parents. Parents are being, and local communities are being frozen out, and the government now is assuming the role, for lack of a better word, of Big Daddy. That through education reform, they get to be the parents. And that's not just about what they learn in school, but about every aspect of their young lives.
Well, so do you think he's going to actually, he's using this basically, by the time they end up in our brains and how our brains actually work, that's pretty dangerous.
Everybody, including many, many people on the left, call Common Core developmentally inappropriate. It's not appropriate. And what they mean by that is exactly what you're saying. You're getting to kids very early and in ways that young minds cannot process this information. And so what you're doing is you're basically reprogramming children. This is stuff, and I'm not being too dramatic here, this is the stuff that Soviet states used to do. They wanted to pull the kids away from the moms and dads and their 1,000-year Judeo-Christian heritage. And in order to do that, they had to go after the things you're talking about. They had to, at very young ages, sexualize the children. They had to reprogram them. They had to break them down. By making them do developmentally inappropriate things so that they could remake them in the image of the state. And that's beginning to be what's happening here.
It's interesting, though, because with the Nazis, a big way that they got kids to be at school more than they were at home was they put in these really, for the time, like high-tech athletic programs. They had uniforms and they had sports equipment. And that was a big draw to stay at school and spend more time at school, less time with the family. And now it's like we're doing the exact opposite.
People don't recognize this, but when the Nazis first power in the 30s, before people realized the threat they would pose, among the first three things they did was a ban on gun control, nationalized health care, and a ban on homeschooling. Those were three of the first four things the Nazi regime did in their quest to control the populace. And that sounds awfully, awfully like what your government's trying to do now.
Well, it's exactly what they're trying to do right now, and they're succeeding at it. And I think a lot of this, again, goes back to parents letting this control slip away from them because they are busy. It's a different world, you know. We need to, you know, kind of break with tradition.
Well, even when we were kids,
it's gonna bite us.
And my mom stayed home. Your mom stayed home.
Yeah.
Our folks didn't feel like they were qualified to homeschool, and the only kids that were homeschooled were kind of, okay, they were dorks. Now the homeschool kids are kind of the normal ones.
Well, and that's why the federal government is using this to go after them. We've already got, now that Common Core is in, we've already got superintendents of schools with no legal authority who are telling homeschool parents that if they're going to be allowed to homeschool, they're going to have to use Common Core curriculum. There's no doubt that in the next few years, as Common Core consolidates, they're going to come down hard with legislation to force homeschool moms to use the same stuff that's going on in the public school classrooms, which will be very hard for homeschool moms to do. And, so there's a lot at stake here.
Well, and if homeschool moms don't do it, if they skip over that, because of course they could do that, the kids won't be able to pass the test. So at the end of the day, the tests are
the same man who was the architect of the Common Core standards, David Coleman. No sooner did he finish than he was miraculously appointed the president and CEO of the College Boards, where the same guy who wrote the Common Core standards is now transforming the ACTs and SATs that your kids have to take to get into college to align with his standards.
That was a coincidence.
Of course, yeah. Just pull the name out of the hat.
A magical coincidence. Right. Okay, so we only have about, I don't know, a minute left. Great. Goes so darn fast. What would you like to leave people with in a minute? No pressure.
Get as educated as you can. This can still be beaten, but only if moms and dads start to pay attention. We have a very short window. We've been in California. We're going to be in San Diego today. We're going to be down in San Diego giving a talk at 3 o'clock in Oaks North Community Center in Rancho Santa Barbara.
Rancho Bernardo.
Rancho Bernardo. If you can get out there, it's free of charge. And if not, there are other good talks and activists in your state doing Common Core talks. Learn about it. No mom who's ever come to one of our talks walks away not an activist, because it's an important thing. So education is the key. If you get there, we can win this, but time is running short.
And the Freedom Project Education site is also posted on the web. All your information, videos, and all that stuff. So thank you very much for taking this battle on, and keep up the good fight. We look forward to talking to you again.
Yep. Anytime you guys need me, give me a call, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Presta. All right, bye, guys. Another good wrap-up. WeThePeopleRadio.us, all the info for today's show. You've been listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding.
I can tell you they're going to be much more stringent.
He was a guest on CBS TV this morning, says the new protocols will keep healthcare workers safe. Elsewhere, Carnival Cruise Line says a Dallas healthcare worker who is being monitored for signs of Ebola has disembarked the Carnival Magic and headed home this morning.
The healthcare worker was cleared to disembark this morning. Her test came back negative for Ebola.
Cruise Line spokeswoman Vicki Ray in Galveston. Authorities say the parents of that missing University of Virginia student have been notified of the preliminary findings after the discovery of human remains yesterday that may be those of Hannah Graham. Police say further forensic testing is being done to confirm the